Gospel reductionism replaces the Bible as the source and norm of theology with the gospel. What would a gospel reductionist edition of Luther's Small Catechism look like? Find out in the latest issues, etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Russell Dawn details his journey from Anglicanism to Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Well, I'm certain it's an ability that everyone from time to time wishes they had. If I could only go back in time and change that one thing, or if I could go forward in time and see how this thing turns out. We all want that ability. Well, cosmologists and physicists assure us that it is not possible. We travel through time at the pace that everyone else travels through time, and we always go forward one day at a time. Of course, the Bible even says this. Jesus says, tomorrow's not here yet. It will worry for itself. Do not be concerned for tomorrow, because what's coming is coming. And you can't get there any faster. You can't shorten your life or lengthen your life or do anything with the time that God has given you. So why are some Christian teachers talking about time travel? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us. Does the Bible teach that Christians can travel in time? We'll be hearing from Patricia King and Katie Souza. Pastor Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
So in the charismatic movement, how common are claims to have supernatural abilities that sound absurd and ridiculous?
Far too common. And I would note that it seems like nowadays, the more absurd the claim, the more outlandish the alleged sign or wonder is supposed to be, the more the charismatics want to hear it. You know, one of the very popular television programs that charismatics love to tune into is called Sid Roth's It's Supernatural. And so there's an entire television program dedicated specifically to taking these claims of supernatural encounters, of traveling to heaven, of seeing the heavenlies, of angelic visitation, of hearing God's direct revelation and voice, and claims of things like miraculous weight loss, you know, that somebody came to a prayer meeting and they were overweight and they left not able to fit into their clothes because God miraculously melted all their fat off of them. The claims in the charismatic movement seem to be ramping up in their absurdity, but what's fascinating is that never is actual documented third-party verification presented to validate the claims that they are making. And I find that just kind of silly, because in every meeting nowadays, people in their pockets have very high definition 4K video camcorders in their smartphones, but never, the claims are made, but the evidence is never given. But they are becoming more and more outlandish. It's actually kind of becoming silly to listen to.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest on the other side of the break. We're going to be hearing from Patricia King and Katie Souza on the subject of Christian time travel, the miraculous ability to go forward or backward in time. Chris is host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. I'm Todd Wilkin.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, does the Bible teach that Christians can time travel, as is claimed by Patricia King and Katie Souza? Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. The Word of God creates faith. The Word of God sustains and strengthens our faith. The Word of God beats back the devil. The Word of God gives us patience to suffer. The Word of God fights against our flesh. The Word of God preserves us in the faith and produces the fruits of love and prepares us for the untold bliss of life to come. There is no secret to spiritual warfare. There is no fast track to Christian maturity. We finish where we start. The kindness of God's promised to us in the humble preached word. That's near the end of the Issues, Etc. book of the month for September from Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, A Martyr's Faith in a Faithless World, really a summary of the book in and of itself. You can find out more about this great resource from one of your favorite guests. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for the Issues, Etc. book of the month for September, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Chris, we're going to hear from Patricia King on time travel. Who is she?
Patricia King is kind of a major luminary within the charismatic and the New Apostolic Reformation. She's somebody who was instrumental, at least she says she had her life changed at the Toronto Airport Church in the 90s with the so-called Toronto Blessing. And the program we're going to be listening to sound bites from is called The Supernatural Life. And this airs on God TV. So this is a staple program within the charismatic movement and so-called Christian television on God TV. So she's not a nobody. She's been known for a long time. In fact, the entire time I've been doing my program, Fighting for the Faith, Patricia King, we have been doing updates on her because, you know, she is that well-respected and important within the charismatic and NAR movements.
Welcome to Supernatural Life. My name's Patricia King, and this week we are going to talk about a very exciting subject, time travel. That's right, because in the spirit, there's no time or distance. In the eternal dimension, there is no restriction on time or distance. And we're going to see through the Bible that even Jesus operated in this dynamic. And with me today, I have a special guest and a special friend of mine, Katie Sousa, who's a revivalist, who has a powerful testimony of the Lord, who has transformed her life and taught her so much on the supernatural. So, Katie, it's so awesome to have you with us, and especially to talk about this subject.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's a controversial subject.
It is.
Because a lot of times in the New Age, there is instruction in New Age groups and cults on how to astral travel, astral project and that. And so a lot of times Christians say, well, gee, you know, that's demonic. We shouldn't be entering in anything like that. But I always say it's really important to know that Jesus is the truth.
Yes.
And everything else is the counterfeit.
Yes.
So if there's a counterfeit, we have to find out, well, where's the truth in it? Okay.
Right.
So I have a question from Michelle. She's from the USA. She says, what's the difference between astral projection and time travel? And so you can speak into this, but one of the things that I do want to mention to our viewers is that source is everything. Like, what is the source? If the Holy Spirit is leading according to truth, and that is the source, then that's the truth. That's the good thing. But if it's a demonic source, if you're submitting to a New Age demon or a philosophy or something like that, then of course you're going to get a counterfeit.
That's right.
But do you have any more to add into that?
Well, to me, source is the most important thing. We actually had everything first. God created everything for
us
first. And the enemy has taken everything and counterfeited it. So we have to not be afraid of things. We have to find them in the Bible, and then we have to take them back from the enemy. Now, Jesus did move in this realm.
Okay, Chris, so we heard there from Patricia King, also Katie Sousa. Who is she, and what were these two women? I couldn't make out a thing they were saying. They just, it sounded like, we got this from the Holy Spirit, trust us.
Yeah, I think that's a good summary. So Katie Sousa is a traveling itinerant signs and wonders evangelist who was trained by Patricia King. Prior to her conversion to Christianity, she was a criminal. She spent time in prison for cooking crystal meth, and she had a hard life, if you would. And so she's a disciple of Patricia King and claims that she's had a radical transformation in her morality because of her encounter with God, the Holy Spirit. All of that being said, let's kind of unpack a little bit of what was going on here. And that is that you'll note that, Patricia King introduced the concept of time travel. And she didn't immediately go into a biblical text. Here's where God's word teaches this. Instead, what she was engaging in was some kind of way to try to make it look like that this is a legitimate thing based upon the idea that the devil counterfeits the truth. And so because the New Age engages in astral projection, which isn't really time travel. Astral projection in the New Age is the belief that you can leave your body, your spirit can leave your body, and you can project to different parts on the planet and things like that. It isn't time travel per se, but their argument is that because the New Age engages in astral projection, we know therefore that the devil counterfeits things. That means that there really is true Christian astral projection, and we're going to call it time travel. And so their first argument is just spurious on its face and completely nonsensical, because we will note this. In order for a doctrine to be biblical, it must explicitly be taught in Scripture. And we're going to note that Patricia King said that, you know, that belief in time travel is controversial. I would say, no, it's not controversial at all. There are no respectable biblical scholars, New Testament or Old Testament, in either exegesis or hermeneutics or even in homiletics, who have divided up, and you know, and one side says, listen, time travel for Christians is possible, and the other theological camp is saying, no, it's not this is not controversial at all, because there's nobody who engages in sound biblical exegesis who's ever come to the conclusion that time travel is a biblical doctrine and a Christian practice that we should be operating in.
What about this argument that she started with and then both of them repeated, Jesus operated in this realm? I'm assuming they're saying Jesus time traveled, that the spirit exists outside of time. There is no time or space for the spirit, which I think we might, at least in a limited sense, say, well, of course, for God, the limitations of time and space do not apply. They're his creations. But is that an argument for time travel?
No, it's not. And the reason why is this, again, coming back to this, in order for a doctrine to be biblical, it has to be taught in Scripture. So it is absolutely true that eternity is outside of time and space. In fact, if you were to do a careful study on Genesis 1 and even John 1:1, Genesis 1, Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning God created. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and Bereshit itself, in the beginning, argues for the creation of time and space. And so you can unpack Genesis in that way. And that being the case, God exists in eternity and he's outside of time and space. But that does not, therefore, give you the right to say, ergo, if we put together a logical syllogism, because, you know, eternity is outside of time and space, we are in time and space, because we are Christians, we have access to the eternal, ergo, we can say that we have the ability to engage in time travel. This is nonsense. This is not how you do biblical theology, nor how you discover a Christian doctrine. And I would argue, I don't mean to take too hard of a slap at our Calvinist brothers, but Calvinists engage in a similar thing when they build doctrines based upon logical syllogisms. And so this appeal to the eternal is kind of the Calvinist game when they create a doctrine that is not found in Scripture, but they say is the logical conclusion. If premise one and premise two are correct, then we can create a doctrine based on the conclusion that would logically follow. You can't do that. That's not how you do biblical theology.
So what are we going to hear next from King and Sousa?
All right. Now, what's going to come next is their attempts to make this look like a biblical doctrine. They've already claimed that Jesus operated in this ability to time travel. And listen carefully to their argument. And it's going to be based upon a definition of a Greek word that Katie Sousa claims that she's, you know, that this is its definition. And we'll unpack this in how they use Mark 3 and Mark 1 at the end of the soundbite.
throughout the Bible, we see that Jesus would go back to the time someone was sick or had a curse or a disease or a disorder come upon them.
I can hardly wait for you to unpack this.
Okay.
I am so excited. Okay, so he went back into time.
He did. He went back to the place, too, because time and space are linked together. That's scientific, right? And he went back to the cause that made it happen. Right. Now, where is that in the Bible? Okay, well, there's many proofs, and just a couple is in Mark 3, the man with the withered hand.
Yep.
Okay, he's got a withered hand, and the Amplified says it's from an accident or a disease that happened in the past. Okay, so he tells the man, stand up. He says, stretch forth thine hand. He gives him a command, and he said he stretched it forth, and the hand was completely restored. So how did Jesus do that miracle? Well, the phrase there, stretch forth, is the Greek word ektano, and in it, it means the time something happened, the place something happened, and the cause that made it happen.
Wow.
So when Jesus said that command, stretch forth thine hand, he went back to the time the man's hand got withered, the accident or the disease, the place it got withered, and the cause, the accident or the disease, that made it get withered, and he healed it right at the root.
And of course, that all happened in a moment of time, like, you know, in fact, in the kingdom, things aren't measured by time.
Right.
So it's not like Jesus was saying, okay, I'm going to right now go back into time. I'm going to go back to the place. It was just like happening as a miracle through time travel that is like that.
Yes, he's
and bringing the restoration.
Yes, he's accessing the eternal
realm.
And we have the right to do that too, because we are seated in heavenly realms with Christ and we are citizens of heaven. Yeah. Seated is past tense, so we're already there. We're able to access eternity. And he accessed eternity where all time and all locations in space are located. He did that even to deliver people of demons. Remember the man in Mark 1?
Yeah.
He's in the synagogue. He meets up with a man that's demonized. He speaks to the demon that's in that man. He says, come out. Come out of that man. Well, that phrase come out is the exact same phrase as stretch forth. It's ektano. And so when Jesus said, come out of that man, he was commanding that demon. Right, he was saying ektano. He was commanding that demon to come out of the time it came into that man's life. He was commanded to come out of the place it came in, the location, and the cause that enabled it to come in, the sin, the curse, whatever. And that demon was pulled out right at the root.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, I know that you like to dig into the original languages of Scripture and that you have some proficiency in there. Would I be able to reach behind me where I'm standing here in the studio to one of my Greek lexicons and find the definition of ektano that Katie Souza says is the definition?
No, you would not. And it's actually pronounced ektaino. And so we're going to note here. So the verb itself shows up in Mark 3, specifically verse 5, where Jesus says, and here's the Greek, it's ektainon tein keira, stretch out your hand. And he stretched out his hand. And so ektaino, according to the lexicon that is going to be right behind you, it has two possible lexical definitions, and it's one, to cause an object to extend to its full length in space or to stretch out, and the second is to extend in time beyond normal expectation or to draw out at length, for instance, to speak at length or to be long-winded. Those are the two, you know, lexical definitions of ektaino that BDAG gives, and there is no lexicon. I've searched at least seven of them. There is no lexicon or any kind of Greek research aid that gives the definition that Katie Souza gave about time, space, and cause. So she's flat out making that up. But the other thing that she did is she made the claim that in Mark chapter 1, when Jesus told the demoniac in the synagogue to be silent and told the demon to come out of him, that the word come out is the same word as ektaino, and it's not. It's actually the Greek word used is a derivation of the Greek verb erkamai, which means to come, and in this particular construction, it's in the imperative ex elthe, which would be from the Greek verb ex erkamai, which means to come out. So not only did she make up a definition of that does not exist for ektaino, she claimed that Jesus used the word ektaino in commanding a demon to come out of a demoniac in Mark 1, and that is demonstrably false. And so these are the core texts that she is giving then for her justification for claiming that Christians can engage in time travel, and what she's saying is a bald-faced lie.
Pastor Chris Roseboro is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity Today. Does the Bible teach that Christians can time travel? Featuring Patricia King and Katie Souza. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Gospel reductionism replaces the Bible as the source and norm of theology with the gospel. What would a gospel reductionist edition of Luther's Small Catechism look like? Find out in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Russell Dawn details his journey from Anglicanism to Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Register your high schooler today for Careers for Christ Weekend at Concordia University Chicago. From October 4th through 6th, spend the weekend with Lutheran youth, connect with CUC faculty, staff, and students, explore our Lutheran teacher education, DCE, Deaconess, Director of Parish Music, and pre-seminary programs. Sign up now at cuchicago.edu/c4c. That's cuchicago.edu/c4c.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our Synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the Synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.
Christ has taught me in his living and dying and living again how to pray when you must bear a cross. And he prays, Lord, take this cup from me. But Lord, thy will, not mine.
I came to the conclusion that I don't believe that the ELCA is evangelical. I don't believe that it's Lutheran. Is it Christian? You can judge for yourself. I personally am doubting that it is. I mean, I guess it's in America. That's about all you can say for it.
Those of you who are worried about making your kids go to church and how that might leave them hating religion, the numbers actually say precisely the opposite. Those families who treat church as optional, they're the ones who are on the road to basically losing their faith.
I've actually heard church growth guys say that sin is a four-letter word. It shouldn't be used from the pulpit. It's too negative. And that if you want to be seeker, it is very strongly advised that you do not use the word sin.
In about 15 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Those soundbites played in their entirety, then you vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at IssuesETC, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote there, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Chris Roseboro is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about Patricia King and Katie Souza teaching Christian time travel. So what is next from these two ladies?
What follows next is like a typical pattern within the charismatic movement, and that is that now you make an appeal based upon the claim that, well, I have proof that this is true because of personal testimony. So what we're going to hear now is Katie Souza claiming that she heard Jesus speak directly to her, that he was going to ectino her, which is absolutely blasphemous because we already know that her definition of ectino doesn't exist anywhere. It's not a valid definition of that verb. And then she's going to claim that she traveled back in time with Jesus with her to overcome a physical ailment. But we're also going to hear Patricia King talk about how Moses apparently engaged in time travel as well.
Yeah. And you've seen this happen yourself.
I have. I just had not too long ago a personal encounter with this. The Lord came to me one night and he says, I'm going to ectano you. I'm going back to the time something happened in your life, the place and the cause. I said, what is it? He says, the rape. I said, the rape. I remember my father. He just passed away a year before he did. He told me a secret he'd never told me my entire life. He said, your grandmother, your great-great-grandmother, was raped in Nazi Germany by a Nazi officer. Mm. And so I was like, what would be the consequences of that? Well, my father had these skin growths that would look like mushrooms that grew all over his whole body. And wow. I was starting to get them on my back. So God came back.
Because trauma, iniquity, all that can be passed down through the generations.
Yes. And physical diseases. That's why doctors always ask you, did your mother or your grandmother have cancer?
Yes,
they always inquire of your medical history, right?
Yep.
So that night, I didn't know what God was going to do. I didn't know the consequence of the rape, but he went back. He took me back in a visitation. I actually went back to Nazi Germany in the spirit. I saw it, and I went back to the rape and got healed it right at the root. Okay, I get up the next morning, and the skin growths are starting to fall off my body.
Wow.
Yes.
There's other examples in the Bible, even in the Old Testament. Yes. For example, Moses, he obviously went back into time because he wrote the first five books of the Bible.
Yes.
But he wasn't even alive when Genesis was taking place.
Right.
So he had to have had some kind of insight or maybe gone back into time. Also, David, when you read the Psalms, when he talks about being at the cross, it was like he was at the cross and he was, you know, had the whole emotion and everything.
Yes.
So he was catapulted forward into time. You can be catapulted forward. You can go backward into time. In fact, I had, I've had time travel oftentimes. In fact, one time we were going to a meeting and there was road problems. And so we couldn't get through the construction thing in time. And we were behind over an hour of getting to the meeting.
Wow.
And so we prayed and I called ahead and I said, we're going to be late at least 1 hour. You're going to have to start the meeting without us. And all of a sudden we're there. Even before the meeting started.
Well, remember when Jesus walked on the water to the boat in the storm,
and
he
got
it. Yeah, it says immediately the boat made it to the shore.
Yeah.
How did it do that?
Yeah, it was time travel.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris, what do you want to say about that? Awful lot of claims about time traveling. It looks like the Bible's all about time travel, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, and they're the first people to discover that, apparently. I would point out that the charismatic movement is full of claims like this, which cannot be verified. And it's really simple when it comes to like Moses and David. Both of them are authors of scripture. And the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all scripture is theonoustos. It is God-breathed. We can see oftentimes in the Old Testament, the prophets, the word of the Lord comes to them and tells them to write and gives them very specific things to write. And we know for a fact that God himself gave the command to Moses to write in a book the things that were being revealed to him by God himself. God is the author of every one of the books of Scripture, even though human authors changed, and there are various human authors who wrote as God led them and carried them along to write. But God was the functional author of every one of those texts, and no time travel was needed. So again, what they've done here is Katie Sousa has twisted the scriptures, made Mark 3 and Mark 1 about time travel, while in order to do this, she invented a definition of ectino that does not exist. She wrongly identified in Mark 1 that Jesus used the word ectino. He did not. He used ex erichomai. And then claimed a direct visitation from Jesus himself. And apparently Jesus now is in full agreement in using this false definition of ectino, and then took her back in time to deal with a skin issue that she had that apparently was the result of her grandmother or great-grandmother being raped by a Nazi. This is all absolutely absurd. None of this is biblical. None of this is taught in Scripture. This is just flimflammery.
At the very least, isn't this kind of textbook definition of what the apostle warns us against: foolish speculation, how Jesus did what he did.
Indeed. I think that is a perfectly great text to go to. You know, this is foolish speculation, and speculation that takes us away from a true knowledge of God. And we'll note that Patricia is also one who is a open advocate of the prosperity heresy, and teaches people that if they send her money, that God will bless them and things like that. She's demonstrably a false prophet, and she is a spinner of yarns. I mean, you know, you might as well believe in Paul Bunyan and his large ox Babe, and you know, and Pecos Bill and things like that, you know, because none of these claims are substantiatable at all. Whereas by contrast, the miracles that Christ performed, even Christ's enemies recognized that Jesus performed those miracles. There was no doubt about the fact that miracles were taking place, even by the apostles themselves. And their opponents, the Pharisees and the scribes, recognized that miracles were taking place, even though they vehemently disagreed with Jesus, ultimately had him killed, and they were vehemently opposed to the preaching of Christ by the apostles. Yet even Jesus's opponents and the apostles' opponents recognized that they were performing miracles. Whereas when it comes to Patricia King and Katie Sousa, you just got to take their word for it, because there is no evidence and no witnesses to any of these claims.
Why do people continue to fall for this kind of stuff that is so patently, and to my way of thinking, I'm sure yours as well, so obviously absurd?
There are a few reasons given to us in Scripture. One is, you can talk about the fact that God sends a strong delusion on people so that they would believe a lie, because they love their sin. I mean, Scripture is very clear on this in 2 Thessalonians. Another reason is because our old Adam is an idolater at heart, and will believe anything other than the truth. And the reason why this particular type of nonsense has an appeal to our sinful nature is because it's wrapped up intimately in the theology of glory and the theology of self-glory. So, you know, people will sit there and go, man, I want to be able to stand up on a stage and tell people all of the exploits and the great amazing things and miraculous encounters that God had with, you know, gave me, because clearly these people, you know, Katie Sousa and Patricia King, they're on a higher spiritual plane than the rest of us. And I want to be on that plane too. I want to be up there with them. And so this is something that our sinful nature, you know, absolutely gravitates towards, because we want to have the spotlight, the center of attention, and for God to talk to us in this way, the way that he talks to them. But the thing is that all of this is just demonic flimflam, and it leads us away from Christ, and causes us to actually have to have faith in Patricia King and Katie Sousa rather than in Jesus. And that's where the demonic snare really is.
Chris, let's go together forward in time about a half hour to the beginning of Fighting for the Faith. What will you be discussing tonight?
Tonight, we are discussing a new set of ethical rules that I am proposing for the charismatic movement. We'll be discussing rule number one in my proposed code of ethics for charismatic leaders. And rule number one will be along the lines of no claims to miraculous healings will be made public until verified by independent third-party medical personnel. So we're going to be talking about my call for a code of ethics for the charismatic movement.
Listen to Chris Roseborough in Fighting for the Faith at 5 Central, right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, we are playing Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. You've heard snippets of the soundbites. When we come back, we'll play all four of them in their entirety for you. And then your vote will decide which will be soundbite of the week. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Thank you. Issues, Etc. Regular guest, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, is the author of our Book of the Month for September, A Martyr's Faith in a Faithless World. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about A Martyr's Faith in a Faithless World at issuesetc.org. Deepen your understanding of Lutheran theology with the new book, A Martyr's Faith in a Faithless World, by Pastor Brian Wolfmiller.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Imagine this. What if you planned your vacation? You picked the location based upon where you knew there was a good Lutheran church. Well, we're here to let you know that if you're planning a Southern Oregon vacation, whether you visit Crater Lake, raft the Rogue, fish for salmon, or head down to the Redwoods, there's still a place for you to receive forgiveness. Faith Lutheran Church in Rogue River, Oregon. What's a vacation without the gospel? Faith Lutheran Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. Visit faithrogueriver.org.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During September, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their ministry of the month, Grace Place Wellness Ministries. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org, serving the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Everett, Washington. Mount Olive Lutheran, Madison, Wisconsin. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Gloria Day Lutheran, Davie, Florida. St. Paul Lutheran, Wildwood, Missouri. Redeemer Lutheran, St. Cloud, Minnesota. Concordia Lutheran, Geneseo, Illinois. Holy Cross Lutheran, Rockland, California. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Appleton, Minnesota. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.